Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today is a self-taught plant parent, gardener, one who has been vending at pop-ups, doing shows all throughout Florida for the last 8 years. She's also doing TikToks about poisonous plants. She's also co-organizer of a magical woodland market experience called Mossy Hollow Market. Please welcome the owner of the Citrine Ghost, Shannon Crosby. What's going on, Shannon?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
I love it. I'm super excited to chat with you. I know we've been communicating via DM for a little bit, so I'm super, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of, you know, get a little bit more information because you do so many different things. I definitely can't wait to find out more about it.
Yeah.
Since we are on my lunch break, what's your go-to lunch sandwich?
Oh, so I've listened to your show. I'm a listener, so I knew you were going to ask this.
Okay.
And I had to think long and hard about it because I love sandwiches. I love them. But I don't eat meat. I've been a vegetarian for over 20 years, but so I get creative with the sandwich. So I like my own because I like to put everything I like. So if I go out, it has to be, you know, top tier, really good. So I found my favorite going out of my house, the one I don't make myself, is from Frankie's Italian Deli in Riverview. And it's an eggplant parm. Delicious. Best eggplant parm. And that's probably my favorite sandwich. Yeah, amazing.
So two little things here. One, what makes that eggplant parm delicious?
So they don't.
And the other
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Sorry. And then the other one is, What if you're at home, what are you making? Like, what's your go-to at home? But first, let's hear about the eggplant. I'm kind of curious.
So their eggplant isn't overloaded with sauce. And it does, sometimes it has like a burnt, even though it's not burnt because of the fried, I prefer a fried eggplant. And it doesn't have like the burnt kind of flavor to it. It's just, they always cook it like perfectly and doesn't have too much sauce. And so maybe that's what it is for me. I've tried to ask for light sauce at other places and they'll just put like none or just still too much. So it's just perfect. And then I don't know where they're getting the bread, but their bread is just top tier as well. Just so phenomenal. It's like, just has that really fresh bread, you know, flavor. And then they toast or press it or toast it. It's just, the combo is amazing. And then they have, it's a full deli. Like they have a big deli case. You can take home meats and pasta salads, all kinds of stuff. So they cut the cheeses and everything there. So whatever, their mozzarella, I don't know if they make it there or they get it from someone who home makes. It's amazing. So just the combo is great. Definitely my favorite. I'm glad I don't live closer to it because they could be a little pricier, but it's worth the price for sure. My husband gets a mac and cheese barbecue chicken. It has mac and cheese in the sandwich. So that's his go-to. So yeah, they have all kinds of crazy stuff. But if I lived closer, it would be dangerous for sure. And then at home, I make a really good veggie wrap. Sometimes I use the fake chicken strips. I like those a lot, but I make a honey French dressing and I like Swiss cheese and I just put like all my favorite veggies in there on a tomato basil wrap.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I think that's it all sounds delicious. I eat all of those things.
Yes.
So tell people a little bit about, and I read it on your profile and I was like, this is phenomenal. So the fact that you called it the Better Goth and Garden Business. So tell me a little bit about the Citrine Ghost.
Oh, so going way back about 8 years ago, I had a podcast called Strip Music Diary, and I'm a big music nerd, so that's what it was about. And then I made some like video elements on YouTube, and then I started doing zines and things and selling buttons of the bands I liked because I had a button maker. And so I started doing like zine fests and doing markets that would invite me, punk rock flea markets and things like that. And so the Citrine Ghost started out as a Stripped Music Diary. And I brought my pink microphone. It doesn't work on this computer, but this is what I use for my podcast. I thought you'd get a kick out of it. It's an iRig. iRig my microphone. And that's what I would use. And it sounded great. I loved doing the podcast, but it just got to be a lot for me. And so I got married. I met my husband and got married, and I moved out to Plant City. And I always wanted a garden, but I always lived in an apartment in St. Pete where I'm from. And I had little balcony gardens, but they never really worked out well. I always lived in like the shady apartment that didn't get any sun, which was good for me, but as a goth kid, but it was bad for the plants. So I came out here to Plant City, and I started like gardening and getting all kinds of plants and stuff. And so the shop evolved into a plant shop. We started selling, as Stripped Music Diary, plants in little baby doll heads that I would get from the thrift store. And that's kind of what catapulted it into the plant shop, because people at the zine fest and the punk rock flea markets loved the baby doll head planters. And that's actually at one of those punk rock flea markets in St. Pete is where Chad Chastain, who was on your show, found me. Yep. And he asked me to come be at the first Lakeland punk rock flea market. So that's kind of where that came from. I was still Stripped Music Diary back then. And then I think I did two punk rock flea markets as Stripped Music Diary before changing the name and to the Citrine Ghost and moving more towards plants. And now we still do baby doll planters though to this day.
Really?
Yes.
So I'm assuming you do is you take the head off and then you just cut a hole and you put the plant inside of the plant on top?
Yep, exactly that. Yeah, I use a hot knife.
Yeah. Wow.
There's just baby doll parts all over my house.
So there's like baby doll parts, but nothing else is being used. It's just the head.
Well,
are you using other parts for it?
Yes.
What did you start using the other parts
we
for?
We started getting like taking off the arms and like, well, we saved everything because we're like, oh, we don't want to, you know, just throw everything out. Like we could probably figure something out with this. And my husband helps me, but he's like, I wake up in the middle of the night, there's just doll parts everywhere, like to go to the restroom or something. And there's like just like disembodied, you know, doll head. But yeah, he and I, we came up with the idea to use the arms and legs and put holes in like a string, and we put air plants in there. So they're little air plant hangers, and those have been quite a big hit too. So we've been doing arms and legs and the head, and then I just started making little statues because my shop now is dark plants and home decor, hence the better goth and gardens. Like it's like a better home and gardens. So I have home decor things too. So I started making little statues out of the body, the torsos.
Like
a little statue that you can, you know, put in your oddities and curiosities cabinet.
So I will tell you that as I was researching, I kind of scratched my head going, how the heck did it go from music podcast? Because like, you were like a female underground alternative like indie music like record, and it went from like that. So then all of a sudden it was like, oh, and then I made it into the Citrine Ghost. And I was like, what?
Where did that took a hard left turn.
Yeah. I was like, wow. I'm like, they're not even, I was like, and then when you, I thought, I was like, oh, maybe she's like, there's like maybe she was using records or vinyl, old vinyl records, and creating planters or something. But so that's it's really funny how you've kind of gone and pivoted that way.
Yeah.
What is it about, like, what made you want to become like a plant parent gardener? Like, what is it about plants? Because I'll tell you, like, I love them. I love like succulents and things like that. Mm-hmm. We kill everything in my house. So I'm definitely going to ask.
Yeah.
I definitely will be asking for tips in a little bit later, but like, I kind of wanted to know like what kind of led to like, what was that evolution of going like, oh, I want to do this. I want to start doing plants. And kind of going into that world, and also doing home decor. And tell people a little bit about what some of the home decor besides the air plants that you're doing with the Citrine Ghost.
Yeah. So like I said, I used to live in the St. Pete in an apartment, and I would try to grow herbs and things. I was like, I just want to have like make tea and like make my own tea, like a peppermint tea. So let me try to grow some herbs, and they'd all die. And I didn't know what I was doing. The internet, this was like, you know, the early 2000s when I really started. The internet wasn't nearly what it was with all the resources, and YouTube wasn't even a thing. So, you know, I was just trying my best, and I just killed everything. So I just always had this thing where I just wanted to grow things, like, I guess, and maybe it was just like that witchy side of me or something. I don't know. But I grew up as like a kind of a punk rock goth kid, like on the right on the cusp. Like The Cure's always been my favorite band, and they are like a post-punk band. And so, but they're also, you know, people are like, oh, goth band, The Cure. So that's kind of me. If that helps explain it a little bit, we are still huge music nerds. We have a huge record collection. Every time we go out of state, we go to record stores and plant shops. That's like our thing. So like we still have that, and I bring that to my shop still a lot. But I am a little bit more spookier these days. I've gotten way more into like dark wave and a lot of synth music and stuff like that, but still have my emo roots. So anyway, I fit in very well at things like the punk rock flea market. People yeah. really respond to it. They're like, oh, I love it. I love this aesthetic. I love everything that's in this shop. And we always put something crazy outside of our shop. If you look on our Instagram, we've had a giant Christmas tree, black Christmas tree with a Krampus head on it. We had a giant Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors statue that I made that we put outside of our booth, a skeleton that's all black, and his name's Charles. He's usually at all of our markets with us, at Charles Bone DeGraft, and so he's sitting outside of our booth. We always have just something crazy outside of our booth, and it really people really respond to that. And so for the merch, we kind of like mash up our personalities in that, where it's very spooky focused. And I just, since I'm so heavily into gardening, especially tropical plants, I propagate those, and I sell the propagation. So I'll make a new plant from a little cutting of, you know, some rare plant that I bought. And we go down to Miami and get rare plants, or I order them online, certain websites. And then, but it's usually plants you don't see around a lot. That's kind of our specialty, is rare and unusual dark tropical plants. So people are like, wow, what is that? I've never seen that plant before. That's always my favorite thing, when people are excited about a plant they've never ever seen. That's always really cool. And then we started making more planters aside from the baby doll heads and the air plant arms and legs. We started making more like painting terracotta pots. I have some that you may have seen on my Instagram as well that were painted like Beetlejuice inspired, like It from, you know, Pennywise from It, that kind of thing. We started painting terracotta pots to match the spooky themes and stuff. So we have that. And I also make like little curiosity boxes with bones that I find in my backyard, because we're here in Plant City. It's kind of the country. And sometimes in our big, we have a pretty large backyard, I'll just find little bones. And so I make a little like curiosity box and stuff, and we sell those, and just kind of whatever I find in the yard, or whatever plants are growing well at that time, that's what's kind of featured. So you'll see something different all the time in our shop. And we have a button and a magnet maker still, because, you know, we're still old punk rock kids. And so we'll make cool spooky buttons and magnets, and we sell those too. Those are a big hit at the punk rock flea markets too. So that's pretty much all of our merch.
No, that's a lot of fun. I love how you guys like you're making and creating your own stuff, and you're kind of, and I was curious about like the plants, how you guys did the plants and how you did that. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you're like the propagation and like, you know, you're kind of basically growing your own merch.
Yes.
So it kind of, it works out really
awesome.
Well.
Awesome. Yes. You know,
for sure. How did you get into, because one of the things that I saw was like, you have over 108,000 followers on TikTok. And, you know, so what made you go and start doing like the poisonous plant diary and things like that? Well, they're very interesting. Like the fact of like I think nutmeg was like, it's a poisonous plant, right?
Nutmeg is poison.
I had
if you have
no
too
flipping
much.
Clue.
Just don't have too much.
Had no freaking clue.
Don't be down in spoonfuls of nutmeg. You'll be in trouble. Yeah. So when I started my garden, I joined the biggest thing I did when I got moved to Plant City, and I wanted like different plants that no one else had, and an herb garden for my teas and stuff. I joined Goth Gardening. It's a Facebook group. And a lot of people talked about dark plants and poisonous plants. And I was like, poisonous plants. And then I made that my personality. So, because I got really interested in it. And I just loved it. I thought it was so fascinating. And I was like, oh, there's probably some books on poisonous plants, right? Like all the different ones. There's so many. I don't even have them all. And I think I have maybe 40 books on poisonous plants. And wow. I was like, you'd think there, you know, there's maybe some from the 70s and they make an updated one. No, there's all kinds of different ones, and fiction, nonfiction, all kinds of different ones. So I have a huge collection. And one of them, my very, very favorite one, is called The Poison Diaries. And it's written by the woman who, she's a duchess in Northumberland, England, and she started a poison garden in at the Alnwick Castle in Northumberland, England, and that's where they shot a lot of Harry Potter, or some of Harry Potter. When he's learning to fly on the broomstick, that was shot at the Poison Garden in Northumberland. Yeah, so I just got really into that and really interested. The art in the book is amazing. And so then I was like, it would be cool to start a series, like a mini series on TikTok, because people just, you know, they just make whatever videos, like slice of life videos on TikTok. But I noticed some folks started making like more like a series, like, and I was like, oh, that's more my vibe, because I came from, used to do a podcast, used to have a YouTube channel, and I get, you know, I'm very hyper focused on my garden and stuff. So I'm like, that would be really cool. So I just started talking about all the knowledge that's in my head from collecting these books and reading them, and people really just responded. It was nuts, and it just blew up. And I woke up one day, I think one of the biggest ones was the Belladonna episode, or little, you know, video that I made. This TikTok, you know, it's short form content. So I think I made like a one or two minute video or something at first, and then TikTok allows you, after you make so many videos, to go up to 10 minutes. So I think then at some point I got the 10 minute videos, but so I just started making these short form videos, and the Belladonna one, I believe, is the one that really blew up and got like over 1 million views. And I'm like, this is nuts. So yeah, people just started like really responding to the Poison Diary, like, wow, I didn't know. And I do like sharing the information because it's interesting, but I also really like sharing it because people don't know. They don't know, like, daffodils and lilies, they bring them in their house for Easter, and they're extremely poisonous to pets and kids. So they're like, wow, yep. I'm glad you told me that, you know, because I put them in my house and I have, you know, I have a cat that eats everything or whatever. So, yep. So yeah, it's been really cool.
Do you, with your backyard in your area, do you then have a poisonous garden as well? Like, do you have like a little section that's like all poisonous plants?
Yes, I do. I just got a big gate that says enter if you dare, and it's a corner of our yard. And then it became like winter, and it was like, you know, it's one of the coldest like winters we've had. So yeah, my garden is mostly tropical plants. So I kind of just left it. I put the gate up, and there's one castor bean plant, which castor is ricin, the poison ricin, and that's doing pretty well, and two datura plants, which is also called the devil's trumpet, and so I have those in there, and then another plant that is called the brugmansia, so I have just a few right now in there, but my plan is to put a lot more, but we're a little nervous. We don't have a fence in our backyard, and there's some kids and dogs that get loose and things. So before I go too crazy, we want to get a big, you know, 6-foot fence for our backyard. Yeah. So that's going to be our next step.
That makes sense. So you also co-organize, and I brought it up in the intro, the Mossy Hollow Market. And from what I've read, it's like a magical village of wishing cauldrons and potion bars and berries and spirits. So how the heck did you come up with this idea? I know you and another person came up with it. How long have you been doing it? Tell me a little bit about like when you came up with it. I'm really intrigued by like when you came up with it, and then like where you who did you talk to that said, oh dude, I want it. Let's do it. Tell me a little bit about the whole origin of that.
Well, I moved to Plant City 7 years ago, and I haven't really found my people here. I just been, hang out with my husband. His friends, they're awesome. They're my friends now too. But, they would come by, and they're in a band, so they would come by and jam and just hang out and all kinds of stuff. But I'm like, I don't know, it'd be nice to meet some other witchy ladies or some maybe some gardening friends, something like that. But I was working all the time. I worked two jobs at that time and for a couple of years, and it's like it's hard to get out. Like, where do you go? Especially in your 30s or older, it's really hard to make friends because in your 20s you might still be in college or something. So I'm like, how do you even meet friends? So I was on the internet a lot, and I had found a mirror that I purchased. It looks like a coffin kind of, and I posted it to one of my favorite Facebook groups, Gothic Home and Gardens Facebook group, and a lady responded and was like, "Hey, do you live in Florida or like kind of Tampa Bay? I think I saw a mirror just like that, and it's so unique. I just had to ask you see if it's the same one because I was thinking of buying it." And I said, "Yeah, I live in Plant City." She said, "Me too." And I said, "Oh my gosh, you do too?" She's like, "Yeah." And she said, "I live on this road." I said, "I live 2 blocks from that road." And her
No
name
way.
is also Shannon. And so, and she's like, "Yeah." And I moved here maybe 7, 8 years ago. I was like, "Oh my gosh." So we had moved here at the same time, both named Shannon, both in this Facebook group. We're like, we're did we just become best friends? So we had a little get together with her husband and my husband. They built a speakeasy in the back of their house. They're from New Orleans, and they built this cool New Orleans speakeasy. I'm like, I'm coming over. I'm there. And so we had drinks, and we got together, and we started hanging out, and we went to this place here in Plant City on one of our hangouts. I was like, "Have you ever been to Metals and Nature?" And she's like, "Yeah, I like that place." And what that place is they forge, it's an iron forging, like metal place, fabrication place where they make, if you want a custom metal gate or like a metal iron bird bath, like, and you want it, in a certain way, custom, they'll make it for you. And they've been there since 1985. And the husband and his brother, I believe, did the work. And then his wife turned the property into a 2-acre nature reserve. And so it's wooded and it's beautiful. And she put all these concrete statuaries around, which they now sell, and all these beautiful plants and a swing. And then peacocks moved in at some point. So there's just peacocks walking around. So this place is still there and still owned by that family. And they still make metal ironworks in the back, but you can just go. It's free. And you can bring a lunch, a coffee, walk around. A lot of photographers use it. And but they were like, "Well, we want to start doing stuff here. We'd love to." The son and the daughter took over from the parents because they're like in a retirement age. And they were like, "Yeah, we just got married here and we want to have more events, like more weddings, everything." We're like, We would love to put on an event. And so we kind of just, Shannon and I looked at each other and was like, "Do you want to do a market? Like, we've been waiting for someone to do something cool in Plant City, and no one ever does. No one ever has, really. There's like a cute downtown market, like a farmer's market, but like a curated market." And I was very inspired by Chad from the Punk Rock Flea Market, so shout out to him for a lot of the inspiration to make a curated market. And I proposed that to them, and I said, "Shannon, do you want to help me?" She's like, "Yeah, I'll help you as little as or as much as you wanted to." Now it's turned into a completely 50-50 partnership. And yes, it like you said, it's a woodland themed, so that's the theme. Whereas like Punk Rock Flea Market's punk rock. Ours is like you stepped through a magical portal and found this magical place with like a potions bar who, and Shannon runs the potions bar, other Shannon. She gets all in character. She's like, "Oh, traveler, I bet you would love a beverage for, you're thirsty on your travels," and things like that. And people come in costume. So we did the first one September 30th of 2023, and I just marketed the heck out of it. I'm using all my social medias. We did ads and things, and I think the Facebook event said like 1,000 people interested by the like the day before the event or something. And I was like, "Okay, if maybe half of that comes, that's great. 500." And so we, day of or whatever, we get on our costumes. We got all of our vendors, which is about 30 vendors, about 7 food trucks, and everything's going well. Everything's going great. And people just started pouring in. Everybody in costume. We think over 50% of people in costume, grown men in these, like, you know, this regalia, just like medieval stuff, everything from like a t-shirt that said like fairy security to like full costumes. And then one lady I talked to, I was like, your costume is so elaborate. I love it. Do you wear it to like the Renaissance fair? She's like, no, I made it for this. And I almost cried. I was like, my market. Oh my gosh. And every time I turned a corner walking around that market, I almost teared up because I'm like, this is just amazing. So at the end of it, we talked to Metals and Nature, the folks who own it. We said, how many people do you think came? Because it was free. We didn't have a way to like count at the door or, you know, tickets or anything like that to count. And we all combined, myself, Shannon, and the two owners of Metals and Nature collectively agreed it was about 3,500 people came to that.
Wow.
And we were just blown away. So we're like, well, we got to do it again. So we are at the end of this month. So yay.
So what is the plan? Like, do you guys have a plan? Are you guys going to try to do it like twice a year, or is it going to be, is that kind of the thought process
yes,
now?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we are trying to make it better every time too. Well, we can't necessarily make it bigger because Metals and Nature is only 2 acres, but just more like better high quality. We handpick all the vendors. So it is a juried vendor selection. We don't allow like MLMs or, you know, Scentsy, that kind of thing, where or we don't allow more than one of the same kind of things. If you sell lemonade, we're not going to have another lemonade vendor because we want everyone to make money. We want the customers to have, like, you know, like a lot of awesome options to choose from. And we have 3 characters that we have wandering around, and they're in full costumes like that people can interact with. We have a mushroom parade that we're starting this time. We didn't have that the first time, where we're giving out little flags with mushrooms on them, and kids can, you know, well, anyone can join, but they can wait, you know, and everyone's going to march around the whole place. And then we have the wishing cauldron. You can put your wish in, and the paper disappears. So it's like your wish, you know, it goes into the ether. And so, and so we want to build it up every time more and more. And we have to do some kind of like logistics type stuff. Like, we have to get an off-duty officer because it's off of Highway 60.
The amount of people as well.
And Highway 60 and like going to Brandon is a very busy road, and it got a little scary. We had other Shannon's husband was in the military as a logistics officer, and it was him and another guy, and then another person who was kind of helping, but they were pulling double duty trying to cash people out who wanted to buy stuff from Metals and Nature. So they were like running back and forth. And between the three of them, they were so overwhelmed with like the people coming in. Like, they were really, you know, in over their heads. So we are hiring the junior ROTC kids. They do it for free, but we're making a donation to them to the team is going to come of these kids, these junior ROTC kids, to help park cars. And then we have to pay for an off-duty officer, but it's for everyone's safety, you know, for sure. Yeah. So make sure that when people slow down and are conscientious when they're pulling in. And then, we have to get another porta potty. So things like that. So we want to make it better and better each time with, you know, things for the guests to make it nice, have little tables and chairs so you can eat your food instead of just like trying to balance all your food, you know, like, because we are vendors ourselves. Other Shannon has a shop where she sells little fairy houses, and then I have my plant shop. So we just know from doing events, like, oh, we don't want to see, you know, we don't like when that happens. We don't, you know, we don't like that. So we know when you get food and you're trying to hold your drink and your food, like, it's aggravating. So we wanted to make sure we have tables and things. And this time we're having 2 live bands. So we're just going to elevate it as much as we can with the quality, since we can't expand it bigger. and it can never be anywhere else but Metals and Nature. It's so magical there. And so if it was just in an open field, it wouldn't be anywhere near the same. So we are like, well, what else can we do? And we hand make a lot of the decor. I'll give you a little secret here. We are making 5-foot-tall mushrooms out of styrofoam. that people can take pictures with. And we're working on those now. They're in my driveway. Well, in my carport. So we do all that. We're trying to make it bigger and better each time, and with more, you know, quality, so people could come back in the community and say, what are they going to do this time? So that's the plan, and to do it twice a year because of all the work and prep that goes into it. And it's just pretty much her and I doing it with, you know, our husbands and our friends helping where they can. So it's a lot of work. So
I have curiosity on a few things. One, like the food vendors, mm-hmm. are they also kind of doing kind of like, is it like, you know what I mean? Like, is it like, do they also go in character type of thing? Like go into the theme so they theme out their food as well?
Well, we had a few. That's a little harder to get to find. So that's why you probably asked that. Great question. Thank you. So we had one vendor that sold baked goods, and she has this very whimsical, magical trailer. They're called the Sisters Cottage, and it says come in for a spell, and they were like perfect. We loved having them. I think they weren't able to come, or they had a competing event this time, but they can't come this time. But then we had another gentleman who I've been finding him at events like wherever I can, because he makes the best salsa, and it's game day salsa. And he's a sports coach. I think he's a football coach here at the local high school. And that just doesn't fit in at all, really. But, you know, aesthetically, but his food is so good. So no, it was a little bit of both. It was like we had Sisters Cottage, who was very much the part, but then we had like game day salsa. So no, we encouraged people to dress up. A lot of the vendor people did. And we had a hot dog guy from St. Pete who's coming back this time, and his shop is called Dude Dogs. And he was like playing music because we had him kind of in the parking lot, and you couldn't hear the music that was inside the event. So we had him like right outside the gate as you're walking in, so you could get a hot dog. And it's free, so it's not like, you know, you can walk in and out and go get the hot dog. So he was playing his own music and just vibing. And we had Frankie's, my sandwich place. They are inside of a building with another business. Like it's two businesses in one. And the other business is called Uncle Louie G's. It's an ice cream and Italian ice place. And they came out with their truck. And his wife had to come and bring more product. And because it was September, it was extremely hot. And she had to come help him and bring more product because they ran out. And so, so they're not really on theme, but the food was very, very popular, I will say.
I think that's great. Those are all things that you definitely need, like a little music, a little entertainment, a little bit of food, some vendors. No, I think that is awesome. It's like such a cool idea. And like, what I love is the fact that you're like, I don't see it. I want to do something.
Yeah.
And you actually, you know, and that's kind of the hard part. A lot of times people are like, well, I want to do something, but they don't do anything about it. You actually did.
We had to. We were going to go crazy. We had to do something in Plant City.
So between the market, the Citrine Ghost, are these your full-time jobs? Like that you do TikTok, all those things? Like, is that pretty much what you're constantly doing now?
Yes, they are. I used to work for Johns Hopkins, actually, at the hospital. And and I worked in an administrative role. And I was just kind of like, you know what, this is not me. I mean, it pays the bill. It's whatever. But it's like, this is just so not me. And I do so many other things. But it's hard to hone in, especially when you do so many other things, and, make sure you can still live. And some things are just hobbies and they'll always stay that way. But the Citrine Ghost has been really doing really well, and I've been building up the name quite a bit. We got into Krampus Fest, which is a big market in Orlando. I've been trying for 2 years. It's difficult to get into that, and I didn't get in for the first 2 years, but this past holiday season I got in, so that was exciting. It was like a morale booster, and it encouraged me a lot. So in October, actually, I think of last year, I put in a notice, and I made what I do my full-time job, the TikTok. That's awesome. Yeah, I do marketing, which is why, which is what we try to, we do attribute a lot of Mossy Hello's success to, is just getting the word out online. We do print some flyers old school and go downtown to Plant City's little downtown shops and hand out flyers, but we predominantly think it did as well as it did because we're in a centralized location here between Orlando and Lakeland and Tampa Bay. And we had folks from Sarasota. So that was good for us, but we marketed the heck out of it online. So I do online marketing for different things. And we're bringing another market to Metals in Nature that's just plant related called Botany Bazaar. So
that's awesome.
So event coordinating, digital marketing, and my shop, The Citrine Ghost, is pretty much what I do now.
How are you balancing all of this? Because that's a lot of stuff.
I'm not.
I appreciate your honesty on it, but like, how are you best trying to balance it?
Well, it's kind of like what fire needs to be put out now kind of thing. Like if I have a big show coming up, that's where all the focus is going. I'm doing Tampa Bay Zine Fest tomorrow, which is like our back to our roots. And that's a smaller market where everyone's just getting a table. So I have a whole tent and like elaborate curtains and Charles, the skeleton I told you about. We're not bringing all that. So I don't really need to stop everything record scratch, stop and do just that. I have some product, I have some plants, I have some records that I melted into pot planters. You were talking about
that earlier.
Are they
like bowls almost? Mm-hmm. Are they almost like a bowl? That's awesome.
Yeah, and I put a little like vining trailing plant in there, and people like those. So probably bring a few of those, a couple copies of my zines, and just some various things. But that's easy, So that's kind of like that for me. That's like because I've been doing it so long, I'm like, oh, I got product, I got table costs, we're ready to go for tomorrow. Mossy Hollow, however, that's been taking like the biggest chunk of my time. But that's okay. That's what that's how I manage everything, basically what I need to be doing. And then if I need to get some marketing out by a certain time, I make sure that I hit those deadlines, and I make a lot of lists and things like make sure this gets done. Right now we're working on vendor spotlights. We do that. That was another, that's something we borrowed from Chad from the punk rock flea market that we think is extremely important. Even though it is a huge time, it's a big time dedicator. Like we have to dedicate a lot of time to that, to make those. Cause I make all of those. But then you get to see what kind of merch am I going to see at Mossy Hollow Market? Who's coming? What vendors are going to come in this time? And it gets the other vendors excited because they're like, oh, I didn't even know, this person's going to be there. And then they'll comment and be like, oh, I'll see you there, friend. And it just gets the excitement going with all around. But that's a huge time constraint. I have to dedicate a lot of time to making those. So right now, that's what I'm trying to get out before, because we want to get everybody's vendor spotlight out, with time so they can share it and everything, and the public can see who's going to be there before the event on the 24th. So that's what I'm doing right now, pretty much.
I will say that that's something as a vendor, obviously, and that you appreciate it, that when the person organizing it is doing those things, and obviously
you appreciate
it helps
that too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Like one of my favorite parts is like being able to see, someone else, and obviously it's easier when like the vendors provide you that, those photos and those images.
Yes.
Heck of a lot easier for you to be able to do that. So I have a few little questions on different things. One is, house plants. You got any like tips on someone like me who kills everything? Do you have like, what do you recommend for certain plants or like, maybe if you kill plants, maybe you want this type of like any idea or any tips you want to give?
Yeah. So I actually am a succulent killer. I'm getting better because actually other Shannon's husband is very good with succulents. I got some tips from him, but with succulents, what has gotten me better with them, if you do like those, and if you have pets and you tend to like forget to water your plants, those are two reasons that succulents are really good for folks like that, because pets tend to stay away from succulents. They're hard or spiky, those types of plants, so they don't want to eat them, and then the cats don't want to you know, knock them with their paw because there's usually, spikes in them or something like that. So those are good to have inside, but you really got to ignore them. I just would overlove them. I'm like, oh, well, you need some water? No, because yeah, come on. I want to take care of you. No, they really just thrive on neglect and they are just want to be ignored. They don't want water. I have to remember that. So I've gotten better with succulents with that. And that would be my advice to pass along if you want to have something indoors and you have pets and you tend to forget about plants. But if you want something that you're like, oh, I want to, I want to watch it thrive. I want to look at it every night. I want to water it. Then I would say tropical plants, which is my forte. And I started with a lot of like the snake plant, which that one doesn't need to be watered too much. And the, what's another one? Bromeliads are big in Florida. They're those plants. They kind of look like a spider plant and they have very hard leaves, very hard. And they're very tropical looking, but they are really good starter plants, very hard to kill, snake plant and bromeliad. So those two are great starters. If you tend to overwater and kill succulents, the bromeliads, they look kind of like a succulent, and they're hard to kill, but they like water. So you won't overwater those. And then I moved into plants like philodendrons and monsteras with the big viney leaves and things like the Swiss cheese looking leaves. Those are pretty easy because if you want to have something on your porch, like I do, like, under a carport or on a porch, they're just leave them there and ignore them. And I hit them with the hose because if they're under the porch, they don't get rained on. But if you can put them in the rain, even better. They just don't like direct sun. So tropical plants are, people are always like, wow, how do you keep, philodendrons and begonias alive? I'm like, I just live in Florida. I keep them outside. Those aren't very, good to have inside because you really have to be on them, pay attention, get a humidifier. They like humidity a lot, but yeah, but I would say 99% of my plants are outside, and that's probably I attribute their success to that just to Florida basically. Humidity. They like it.
Good old humidity.
Yes.
Out of curiosity, do you talk to your plants?
No, my husband, his grandmother used to own the house across the street from us. And he said that he would go over there and she swore by that. She swore that that was a thing. And I was like, no, when I first started, a couple of years ago, 5-6 years ago, I was like, that's silly. No, I'm not going to do that. But apparently there is science behind that says if you talk to them and you're sweet to them, if you tell them they're horrible, they're ugly, they'll like die. That's like a real thing. I saw a study where they plugged them into something or whatever, like a microphone or I don't know. You can look it up. I'm probably,
I actually have heard. I have heard.
Have you seen that?
I had it. Yes. And you could hear it. They supposedly could hear it crying or something like that.
Yes.
It's like something to that effect. Yes. I saw the same article. I read
the same
article.
Make sounds and stuff. And then, they'll scream, essentially scream. It's crazy. So yeah, if you like talk very negatively and in a stern voice, they won't thrive. But if you're like, I try a little bit more, but I don't know. I live in a neighborhood where the neighbors are kind of always out. They're probably, they already think I'm kind of nuts. I have a coffin shaped planter, a big one. It's like 4 or 5 feet. It's not like, human size. Well, it's maybe for a small human, but not like a man size, probably a 4 feet coffin shaped planter bed in my front yard. So I always kind of aim to be that house that like the kids are like, I dare you to go touch that house. A witch lives. I always wanted to be that house.
I love it. I bet you're the house that everyone wants to come to for Halloween too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so the neighbors probably already think like, kind of Looney Tunes, but, if I'm out there, talking to the plants, then it might make it worse, but I try to, I don't know, or I'll talk to the squirrels when I'm, I'll be like, get out of here, squirrels, because they're always eating my plants. And so I feel like if the plants hear my voice, maybe they're thriving. I don't know. Yeah, no, some people name their plants too, but
I have heard that.
I have too many.
Is that,
Oh, really? She did?
Yeah, she did, but she killed it. She killed
it. All right.
So she killed Greg. So, yeah.
Greg.
Well, granted, she wanted, I feel so bad for her because she wanted a hanging plant, and I even got her like a hanging plant in her room, and that's what she wanted. And she has, but I think it was like the upstairs was just too cold and not enough sun, enough water. It's like totally died. And I just said, listen, I'm really sorry, but I'm like, just buy a fake plant and put it there because I'm like, it's going to look there's, and you're just going to keep killing plants. And so she had a succulent, and I was like, that's dead too. I'm like, there's Greg dead.
There's
I was like,
Greg.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh,
I was like,
poor
was
Greg.
Like, I'm like, it's not your fault though. I said, it's
no,
not your fault.
We suck at
this too. I was like, I'm not very good at it. I was like, we keep humans alive and dogs alive, but not plants.
Yeah, I'd say if she wants to try again, pothos, they're pretty resilient. Those are those pothos ones in, yes, pothos. The golden pothos, they're the kind you see growing up trees in Florida with they have like a big kind of like heart-shaped leaf growing up the trees in Florida. Yeah,
very
so
cool.
Those are very, very resilient, and they're a good pot, like a hanging pot plant.
Okay.
And hard to kill. Yeah, so that's a good one if she wants to try again.
I definitely I definitely will tell her that. What advice would you give someone for wanting to start something?
Just start. I would say do it scared because I you know, I put a lot of planning, I overthink, and I would say the best things I ever did was just start and don't even really think about it. Like, don't overthink it. Don't overplan. Just do it. If it's bad, then so be it. But, you know, I know a lot, that's hard for a lot of people, and even myself included. I was on my own, you know, I was 33 when I married my husband. So I was like, I was on my own for a long time. I couldn't quit my job and just like, be like, I'm just going to quit my job, put some money into a business. Like, you know, how did you have t-shirt business, you can't just like, oh, I'm gonna spend like $3,000 on inventory and quit my job. Like, that's so big of a gamble, especially in today's day and age. So I would say, you know, it like a lot of people here just start, from people on TikTok and stuff, like, oh, just quit your job. And so, no, I wouldn't say that. I mean, just start in any way you can. Find free events that you can do, like that Zine Fest I'm doing tomorrow. There's no vendor fee, which is really generous of them. There still are events like that where there's no vendor fee. So even if you don't have a lot of overhead or a lot of money in the bank to just, you know, buy a bunch of inventory, just make a few small things. I'm sure you have too, been to events where smaller events where someone has just a small card table with a few things. That's how we started out. If you scroll way back on our Instagram, it's just like three zines and some buttons, and that's all we used to sell. So just start with what you can. You don't have to have some fancy setup. You don't have to have all kinds of inventory, and do free things like start, get an Instagram going and just start building up whatever you do. Like, I'm going shopping for fabric today, and I make, you know, aprons. I have a friend who makes handmade, like, cooking and gardening aprons. So my advice to her when she was starting out was like, just when you go to Joann Fabrics, just take a little video. Here's what I got today. Content, you know, it's free. It's free. If you have a phone and you have the internet and a little free time, that's something you can do to start. So that would be my advice, is just start.
I love that. No, I think that's a great advice. Since you've been so good with the marketing and doing a lot of digital marketing and stuff like that, do you have any tips or advice? I think one of them you just already kind of mentioned, the fact of like just picking up your phone and just showing people a glimpse of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Can you give a little bit of advice on that? Like, how are you, I guess where I'm trying to go is also the fact of like a tip of like doing the marketing aspect of it, but also the fact of like, how do you get in the mindset to be consistent in posting all the time? Because there's so many different places to post, and knowing where to post, and each place wants it to be like organic and not the same thing.
Yes.
You know, and
not
so how do you kind of, exactly. Yeah. How do you kind of work that so that it does, that you can kind of keep yourself in line, because I mean, it is so important for people to be able to see your stuff.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, just whenever you're, if you're out and about and you want to, you know, do like a haul video, or even just show the items that you got. And I know some people, I like marketing, and I've been, I had the YouTube thing, I do the TikTok thing, all the, so I don't mind being on camera and talking. I've gotten a lot better at it. Not perfect, but, but I've gotten better at it. But I know some people are petrified. They're terrified. I don't want to get in front of a camera. Why do I have to, and I want to have a small business. I want to be an artist. I don't want to be a marketer. I don't want to, you know, have to sell myself. That's weird to me. Well, I just do it in an organic way. And that would be my advice, is just like, show what you're doing. Like, you don't have to show yourself. Maybe just, if you're a gardener like me, you know, just show your hands. Oh, we're potting up some plants today, and I put a little tripod and I'll show that. Or we're painting, you know, painting some pots, and I speed it up and, you know, base coat them, then I'll paint and I'll do like a time lapse type of thing of what I'm doing. So you don't have to be on camera, and you don't have to be like, oh, I have to think of ideas now for like how to sell this business. No, I just record what I'm doing, and people like that. It's, it kind of taps into their like curiosity in a way of like, well, I like to see what other people are doing. I think that's why we as a society enjoyed reality TV so much, even though obviously that turned out, we all know it's fake now, but people like slice of life stuff. And that's really what my bag is. I don't think of some like creative idea or some selling point or like a commercial. I'm not really good at that. I'm just like, here's what I'm doing. And people are seem to respond to that. They're interested and curious, like, oh, I want to see how other people live and what their craft room looks like or what their garden looks like. So that's all you need to do. You don't have to think of some like ideas of like, oh, how can I, you know, I don't need to, or I don't know how to edit this together or anything. You don't really need to know, especially with TikTok has a lot of built-in editing stuff to it. So yeah. And so thinking of like of the ideas, I would say like, I just film what I'm doing naturally. I don't really think of ideas. And then when to post it, to the kind of the second part of your question, is just, I guess, whenever. I've learned that TikTok specifically is the evening when people are looking at their phones is the best time to post. So it's just kind of whatever, like if I'm working on a project, I'm like, oh, I should probably film some of that tonight when I'm painting and then post that. And then I'll wait until the evening though, because like if it's 1 p.m., that's not a good time to post on TikTok. So wait till that evening and post that. And then I'm like, well, I can't post the exact same thing to Instagram. So I'll take some photos and be like, oh, working on, you know, work in progress. And I'll put the photos on my Instagram story, something like that. So it's different, you know? But yeah, and then I just try to remember that the different times to post are, you know, there's different best times to post on Instagram and TikTok. Instagram is just more like the weekends, any time on the weekends, and TikTok is just like evenings, 8 to 10, 8 to 11 p.m. So that's how I do it pretty much.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Speaking of that, how can people follow you? Check out your event. Where can people do all that? Get more information about Moss Hollow Market, get more information about the Citrine Ghost. Tell people how they can follow you about that.
So we have TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook for all three. And Instagram is where I am predominantly, I post the most on for the Citrine Ghost. I've had that account for almost 10 years. So I'm usually hanging out on Instagram for the Citrine Ghost in my stories. And then Mossy Hollow Market, it's at the Citrine Ghost for that across all social media. And then at Mossy Hollow Market on Instagram. We're doing a giveaway right now, so if you follow us too, you can get in on that prize. But that's where you'll find all the information for when the next market will be, and vendor, if you want to be a vendor, that kind of thing, information on Instagram. And we have a TikTok for Mossy Hollow that's just at Mossy Hollow. So yeah, and we do like an event page, like Punk Rock Flea Market does, event page on Facebook too for Mossy Hollow. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. I definitely love what you're doing. I think it's definitely been a blast getting to chat with you. That's our show for today. Thank you so much to Shannon Crosby of the Citrine Ghost, Moss Hollow Market, for being on. By all means, if you definitely give them a follow, check them out online, you know, maybe get some air plants with a, you know, a baby doll planter. I think, you know, if I see any of those and you do pick one up, I definitely want to see pictures and tag me on it. Cause I would definitely want, I love when people buy stuff, from, you know, from our guests. If you want to check out, you know, if you enjoyed the show, to make sure to subscribe. If you want to support me, check out my brand, Deli Fresh Threads. Thank you. Until next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion.